Joining us right now over the phone, we have a very special guest. He is Ron Wotus, third base coach for the San Francisco Giants. In fact, one of the longest tenured coaches in Major League Baseball. Ron, it is a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you so much for the time today.
Jordan, it's nice to be with you today.
As I mentioned, one of the longest tenured coaches in Major League Baseball, or are you the longest tenured coach right now?
Yeah, you know, I know Glenn Hoffman's been around a long time. I have him maybe by a year, I think, in the big leagues. But there's another coach, Dave McKay, who's with Arizona, who's been doing it longer than I have. But I think he might have been out of a job for a year or two, and he started off with Tony La Russa, who's a Northern California guy. And Dave McKay's been with Tony La Russa from the very beginning. And, you know, now La Russa retired, he ended up landing a job with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So he's their first base coach, and he's living at home. And he's probably the senior most longest amount of years in the major leagues, probably next to me.
It's fantastic. And I want to talk about your coaching career because obviously it goes way, way back. In fact, before you actually made the jump to the Giants, you actually served as a manager in the minor leagues, correct? And I believe that you were also manager of the year at one particular time.
Yeah. You know, when I was when I was done playing, you know, I had a couple offers. I was back in AAA. You know, I was drafted and played for the Pittsburgh Pirates most of my career, got parts of three seasons with them, retired as a player, and I took a coaching job with the San Francisco Giants. I played my last 2 years at AAA with them. And I had some minor league opportunities to go play for the Mets and another team. And I had a chance to go to Italy and play. And I said, I'm going to make a career change. So I started managing in the minor league. And, there was 2 years. I was fortunate. I had good clubs. I had manager of the year two times there. My last 2 years was in Phoenix with the Phoenix Firebirds. And I know you're out there in Salt Lake, and I actually managed against your Salt Lake club there when the Minnesota Twins were in town.
That's fantastic. So you've definitely been well-traveled. Let me ask you this, Ron. What's the biggest adjustment you have to make between being a player and then transitioning into the coach? I mean, what was the most difficult transition for you?
Well, I think that, when you're a player, you worry about yourself. You know, you can control everything that you have to do, your work, your attitude, your approach. But now when you're managing or coaching, you have to worry about 25 guys. And, the days of, the players all conforming to the coach or the manager are long gone. It's more that the manager or the coach has to adjust to the 25 guys on his roster. And it takes some time and experience to realize that that's a big part of it, you know. So it's an adjustment on how you think and how you want to help other players, because, you know, when you're just worried about yourself, if you want to take extra ground balls or you want to hit more or whatever it is, you can do it. But, you know, not all the players are on the same program as you are, and you got to find a way to help them the best you can with their attitudes and their approaches.
Well, let's talk about your Giants career, specifically as third base coach. So you make that leap, correct, in 1998 under Dusty Baker. And from that point on, boy, you've been a part of some really fascinating, some really fantastic teams in San Francisco.
Yeah, very fortunate. So 98, I was called up from Phoenix. I became the third base coach in 98 and the infield coach. And then in 99, Dusty moved me to the bench coach. And I stayed as the bench coach with the San Francisco Giants for 19 seasons. And it wasn't until 2017 we had lost 98 games in San Francisco. We had some of our coaches were let go. We kind of had a big revamping of the whole thing, and they asked me if I would coach third base. So I've been back out at third base the last two seasons, and that was the first time since 98. But to your point, we've been very fortunate. We've been in the four World Series, and we won three of them. The one we lost was in 2002 against the Anaheim Angels.
Let's start with that particular World Series because it was a battle. I mean, it goes seven games, and this is the same season that Barry Bonds, I believe he wins back-to-back MVPs, if I'm not mistaken. So if you go back to 2002, I mean, just a fascinating season all the way across, and you go seven games against the Angels. What's that like, a grueling seven-game World Series, especially one that ends in a loss?
Yeah, no, it was a tough series. I mean, the Angels were scoring all kinds of runs that year, and we actually were up 3-2 and heading back down to Anaheim for games 6 and 7. And we actually had a 5-2 lead in the seventh inning in game 6. And anyways, long story short, they come back to win that game. And then in game 7, they beat us. So it was tough. And I think the whole Bay Area, myself, the players, it was a tough pill to swallow to go into a game 7 and not win it. And I'm telling you, I'll tell you what won it for them was that darn monkey they have down there in Anaheim would show up on the scoreboard and get the fans going. They had a good team, and we just couldn't hold them down, and they won that World Series. But it was a battle, and it was great for the Giants because it's the first time they've been to the World Series in a long, long time. And you know, it was a transition because that following year, Dusty Baker was our manager. He did not renew his contract after going to the World Series. He went to the Chicago Cubs. I had to make a decision to go with him or stay here in San Francisco. I ended up staying San Francisco, and it's been the right decision for me because I've been here ever since.
Yeah, it doesn't take too long for you guys to get back to the World Series, right? 7 or 8 seasons. You get back, you win a World Series against the Texas Rangers. We just talked about the pain of losing a 7-game World Series to the Angels. What's it like when you finally climb that mountain? You take care of the Rangers in 5 games in 2010.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. You know, it was been, you know, since 50, I think 54 that the Giants had won a World Series. They hadn't won a World Series on the West Coast since they move from New York when they made that transition. So this city just went bonkers. And as a player, a coach, manager, you know, it's a feeling of such accomplishment when you win that last game. And, you know, the whole winter it carries for you. You know, it's a great feeling to have won, but you find that all winter long, you're sleeping better, you're eating better, you just have a smile on your face, and you can't believe that you won. And then to go on and do it 2 more times, in 12 and 14, I still shake my head on how we were able to accomplish that because we were never a juggernaut on paper. I mean, you know, we played good ball at the right time. We definitely was deserving, but winning is so fleeting, like it was in 2002. You know, a blue pit, anything can go wrong, and usually you're on the short end of the stick. Something happens where you don't win a game and you don't win, you know, you don't get to the playoffs or you don't win the World Series. So to do it 3 times in that span is just unbelievable.
I know if we talk 2012, you had two series go to the brink, right? It was a 5-game set with the Reds and a 7-game set with the Cardinals before an ultimate sweep against the Tigers. And then in 2014, we're talking about a 7-game World Series, and this time you come out on top against the Royals. That's some remarkable baseball, some really gripping on the edge of your seat baseball.
Yeah, I think to do it in 2012 was really we were against all odds because we were down 2-0 in the first round of the playoffs to Cincinnati, and we had Barry Zito going on the mound in the third game, and Cincinnati this was at home. We were down. Then we went to Cincinnati. So we lost 2 in San Francisco. Now we go to Cincinnati to play 3 more. You know, it was a 3-5 series. And Cincinnati had not been swept at home all year. Well, long story short, we end up winning that game. We end up coming back, win 3 in a row, and beat them. And then we were down 3-1 against St. Louis Cardinals in that league championship series. And we came back to win 3 straight to win. We had, what, 7 or is that, let's see, had 6, you know, elimination games that we were able to win every one of them. And then, of course, we went to the World Series and we swept the Tigers. So go figure, the World Series was easier than getting there.
Again, our guest right now is Ron Wotus, one of the longest tenured coaches in Major League Baseball, right now serving as a coach for the San Francisco Giants. Ron, with all that being said, you've had the opportunity to be around some really unique players. I mean, I would definitely be doing the listeners a disservice when I ask you, if I didn't ask you, what was so special about Barry Bonds, who in my mind is probably the most feared hitter we've ever seen?
Yeah, Jordan, no question about it. He's the best player I've ever been around. You know, I was fortunate to play with Barry in AAA when I was back with the Pirates. I was older than him, and he was coming up. We spent a half a season together, and you knew right then and there that he was extremely talented. If you would have told me back then that he would be the home run king and accomplish what he did, I could have never seen that coming. But he's much maligned for a lot of reasons and all that, but he's as dedicated as a player that I've ever seen. He was religious in his workouts and his approach to the game. Whenever he set his mind to anything, he accomplished it. And what people don't realize, he had physical ability, but he had mental know-how and toughness that's really at the top level of great athletes. And that really makes players in the major leagues. You know, the talent takes you so far, but your mental approach and your mental capacity. And talking about his hitting, he had the shortest swing and the most disciplined knowledge of the strike zone. He did not leave the strike zone. And, of course, as he got stronger over the years and hit those home runs, it just shows how great he was. And one year he walked over 200 times, and I could go on and on with stories about Barry Bonds, but he certainly mentally and physically is the best I've ever seen.
Now, Ron, I asked you a question before we hopped on the air about an interesting story, and you mentioned one with the Los Angeles Dodgers that involves Tim Lincecum, who, again, was just outstanding in the middle of his prime. And with me being a Dodger fan, again, my ears perked right up. A very interesting story about where you were basically forced into the manager role because Bruce Bochy was tossed. I love this story.
Yeah, being the bench coach, when the manager's tossed, you take over. And that's back before video replay, right? So managers don't get tossed anymore. Because the video replay, there's not as much reasons to get thrown out when they mess up a call. But in this particular game, Lincecum was in his prime. We're winning 1-0. I think Boach got let go, got thrown out in the third inning. Gary Darling was the first base coach. He made two terrible calls in the game, almost cost us the game. And anyways, Boach is gone, so I'm managing the rest of the way. And, you know, I had my feet up on the rail because Lincecum is just cruising. He's dominating. He must have 14 or 15 strikeouts. Now it's the top of the ninth. Packed house, Dodgers, our rival. And I can't remember the hitter, but there was a ground ball. Umpire calls him safe at first, Gary Darling, his third missed call. And I said, oh, the heck with it. I mean, you know, Lincecum's in full control. He had like 80 pitches. So I run out there. I get tossed from the game. So now the manager's gone, the bench coach is gone, and I hand the lineup card to Tim Flannery, who was our third base coach. So now he's got to manage the game. They ended up tying the game in the ninth. That leadoff single, tied the game. Lincecum goes, I think, 9 or 10 innings. He leaves the game. We put other pitchers in. And meanwhile, Boach is trying to help Flannery manage the game from the tunnel, right? He's down in the tunnel trying to give him information. That's difficult to do because, you know, the communication, and you got to be thinking ahead on what you want to do. Anyways, Boach wants Flannery to pinch hit for Juan Uribe, and he doesn't. He didn't get the message quick enough. Uribe comes up, hits a home run, we win the game, like in the 14th inning. So we all go in, we're all happy, everybody's excited. Flannery's exhausted, and Boach calls Flannery, and he goes, Flann, he goes, you got to listen to me. I wanted you to do this, I wanted you to do that. You didn't listen. And he goes, that's a problem, you got to listen. And Flann looks at him, and he says, Boach, the problem is, when I woke up this morning at 8 a.m., I didn't think I'd be managing the game against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And that was a great point. So he was the third down on the list, and he ended up getting credited for the win.
There's no doubt that Bruce Bochy's on his way to the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, we're talking about one of the best that we have seen in quite some time. What was it like serving under Bochy?
Oh, it's been great. I've been really fortunate with, you know, Dusty Baker for 5 years and Felipe Alou for 5 years and Bruce Bochy. I think we spent 11 years together. He was really an old school manager, a player's manager. He's not a man of many words. You know, he kind of leads the old school way. You know, he had managers, tough guys in the past that he had played for, and he took a lot from them, the Bill Verdon type guys. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, to have success that we had, just unbelievable, and we were a close-knit group, not just with Boach, but all the coaches. And whenever you have success like that as a group, they're some of the best days of your professional career.
Now, Ron, one more question before I let you go. And we have this conversation with Bill Lasky, a great friend of the show, each week when we talk about analytics in baseball. And I know that at times you've been responsible for defensive shifts. I'm curious as to your thoughts in analytics and the way the game is played today, or maybe the way that the game is moving compared to where it was at when you first started taking over as the third base coach.
Yeah, well, it's changed so much. I mean, you know, if you got another hour, I can get into it a little bit, but I'll keep it as brief as I can. You know, when I first started, we were using VH tapes to look at other teams' games. You know, to scout them on top of our advanced scouts. Well, today there's no advanced scouts. Everything's done in house on the computers by analysts. And I'll just say this: I think the analytics has brought a dynamic to the game that is very positive. But I really believe you need the blend of the analytics and people with the baseball instincts that have played and understand the human element. See, the problem with statistics are they don't have all the variables in a game. So you can tell me whether it's in hitting or defensing somebody on the shift. You could say, well, the percentages tell you to do this. But you don't know how that hitter's swinging that day. You don't know about the pitcher on the mound. So we have more variables and more detailed information over the analytics when you get in the moment in the game, you know. And I think that's the biggest discrepancy between the analytics and the people that have been on the field and have played the game and have a feel for these moments and all these other variables. It's hard to discount those because you live them. And I live them. The analytics help us today. I mean, it helps in defensing, guys, for sure. Look at all the outs people are making, the shift. People can't hit the ball through the shift. They're pitching better to the hitter's weaknesses. So there's a lot of positive, but it is a bit of adjustment. And I think it's gone, you know, to 80 to 90% analytics and 10% feel and all the other variables in today's game.
I've always been of the mindset that there is way too many variables to predict with the computer or with just sheer numbers, right? I mean, honestly, I think you hit it right on the head, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here. There's really no way to judge, A, what a pitcher's feeling at this particular moment, B, what a batter's feeling at this particular moment, or maybe if we even take a look at position players as well, there is an element to it that will never be able to be deciphered through numbers in a computer.
No, you're exactly right. You know, I set the defense and set the shifts for my whole time that I was the bench coach here and the infield coach. And you're exactly right. I mean, if we got a guy throwing 95 down and away as hard as he can, and, you know, he's pulling everything and a guy can really locate, you might not be able to have to shift on that guy. I mean, that's the simplest example that I can give you. And we're just not looking at plots. Okay, so if you just look at the statistic and look at plots, and, you know, our analysts would give me the maps and say, okay, we want to do this, but I'd watch video. I'd watch every day the last 2 weeks of the swings by the player because players make adjustments. Are they going to hit the ball the other way? As I said, you got to get throwing 95 down and away, and we're going to pitch him away. If we're going to pitch him soft or we're going to pitch him in, okay, he's going to pull it as a lefty. So there's so many other variables that you have to put in there. So you got to blend the two, and you still got to look at video if you want to be the best at what you're doing with all the information that's available.
Ron Wotus, again, coach for the San Francisco Giants. Ron, I've really enjoyed the conversation over the last 15, 20 minutes. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, and hopefully we get some baseball relatively soon.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I just hopefully we can get this virus under control so we can play baseball, but more importantly, we can all go back to work and go back to our great style of living that we have. And Jordan, I enjoyed being with you, so give me a call anytime.
Well, thank you very much, Ron.